This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon. News you need.
Like it or not.
I don't mind if you don't like my manners. I don't like them myself. They're pretty bad. I grieve over them long winter evenings. And I don't mind you ritzing me or drinking your lunch out of a bottle. But don't waste your time trying to cross-examine me.
She was beautiful. She was young. She was innocent. She was the greatest piece of ass I've ever had. And I've had them all over the world.
America, fuck yeah, coming again to save the motherfucking day, yeah, America, fuck yeah, freedom is the only way, yeah, terrorists, your game's through, cause now you have answer to America. Fuck yeah, America. Fuck.
This is the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation.
Military threat.
Flaming debris. Fatal heart attack. Stress injuries. Prison disaster. Economic collapse. Dangerous radiation. A tide of violence and human misery. A liar and an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline. Starving victims. How they die. Chemical weapons, carpet bombing, deaths, top FBI, kill and injure children, police conspiracy,
negative attacks,
discipline, sex and drinking binges, dying of a heart attack, dying of breast cancer, dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb, mountains of credit card debt, the mountain of cocaine, tons of cocaine. And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS Evening News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night and have a great weekend.
This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon Radio.
Number 16.
Number 16 already. It seems like I haven't even been here for 16 episodes.
It does to me. October the 26th, 2004.
All right, buddy. What's been going on in your world?
Oh, I've been doing a show. How about you?
Well, you
weren't here last week. And
you know, I have done a lot of recording for Infonomicon TV. And as I recall, I gave you a video camera for you to record. How much have you gotten done?
If I get the bitch to work, yeah. Okay.
Just because I gave you broke shit doesn't matter anything.
Okay. Why was you here last week? Something about Elvis. And did you get those pictures?
Oh, I forgot to stop by there and get my picture of Elvis.
He doesn't mail them to you?
No. Like, I got to go find it on the wall and, like, take a picture of it or steal it so no one knows.
Wait. So he doesn't give you a copy? You have to go, like, take a picture of the picture?
See, I don't know why he doesn't use Polaroid pictures so people can have a copy and, like, they would pay extra for a copy of the picture.
What kind of cameras does this guy use? One of the disposable ones?
Yeah, disposable.
Walmart disposable cameras?
But he uses, like, it a lot because, like, he takes random pictures of every group going through. I don't know. He's fucking insane. But anyway.
Didn't you go to a little gay parade this week?
Yes.
This weekend?
Downtown Nashville at the wonderful Days Inn. And when I say wonderful, I mean, like, it was kind of industrial in there because, like, there were a lot of ceiling tiles that were artistically misplaced. And they had put urban litter in the rooms to kind of simulate being on the streets. Like, one of the rooms we went into, there was, like, a condom laying on the ground. And it wasn't from the people in the room at the time, because I was helping people carry their bags into it. And the cleaning ladies had just missed the condom.
And this place actually had a place for people to talk at?
Yeah, it was awesome. You didn't feel bad breaking stuff.
Did you steal any towels or anything?
No, I didn't even have a room. I went with the whole premise of, I'm going to find some drunk guy, and he's going to let me sleep in his room for, like, a little sex in trade. But
just like in real life.
Yeah, but they didn't let me sleep. They let me sleep on their floor, but no one molested me. I guess I'm not cute.
You always will be to me.
Thanks. This is why I don't visit you. But anyway, the gay parade I went to was actually this thing called Freaknik.
Freaknikki-nikki.
Freaknikki-nikki. And it's not like Atlanta Freaknik, which I wouldn't have gone to even if you paid me. This was like Nashville Freaknik, and there was a bunch of white guys and a lot of computers. I think the ratio of guys to computers was 3-1. In fact, the ratio of girls to computers was 1-4,000.
A lot of words like noob being thrown around.
And I didn't really believe it, but there really are people that can only say fuck, tits, noob, and owned. Or OMG hacks. Or
somebody actually says this?
Yes, yes.
People
yes.
use that.
Yes.
So they talk in leak speak.
Some people do, but they're leak speak repertoire isn't very large. Like, I met a fellow, and I'm sitting in the hotel room, like, we're all drinking, and he's watching C-Lab. And the whole time he's watching C-Lab, he's like, owned, owned, noob, noob, you're a noob, owned. And I'm like, shut up. And I really wanted to punch him.
What was this guy's name?
This was Murdoch. And there'll be more information on him later, but we're not going to say anything. Just
Didn't you and Stank Dog go geocaching?
Yes, we did. Just get a newspaper and check out court appearances, and you'll find out what all went on in Freaknik.
But yeah,
Stank Lucky and I went geocaching.
What locations did y'all go? And you want to reveal that or?
No, not really. Let's say everybody watch Hack TV and. Maybe there'll be a couple clips of it.
Was it pretty easy to find or anything? Or
yeah, it was pretty good.
So you didn't go into complicated, like hiking?
Well, the one that we all went to was pretty complicated.
Okay.
But
any interesting finds or?
You'll just have to see it on Hack TV. I hate to be a bastard like that, but some people don't like that shit getting spread out.
Okay. And any interesting talks you've seen going on over there or?
Yes. I met a guy named Acidus, who some of y'all may have heard of him. He wrote Stripe Snoop, which is a program that reads the magnetic stripe on cards. And
he
also has
been on
Ben
Rev, right?
What's that?
He's been on Ben Rev, right?
Oh, yes. He's been on Ben Rev Radio. A lot more people have heard of him as the guy that did, what's that school thing called? Blackboard. I kept thinking Black Box, and I knew that wasn't right. He's the guy that was involved with Blackboard. And he actually wore an Infonomicon pin while he gave his talk.
Which I just got one, which is really cool. In that 1984 kind of way.
Leet in a Commodore kind of way.
Yeah, not the 1984, the book. 1984 the year. I wore it, actually. I went to go pick up a pack of cigarettes. I wore it on my pants. Because I'm wearing these ripped jeans.
Yeah,
I had it right next to my, Motley Crue button.
Excellent. You bastard. That's the hot swag. You didn't know that?
Well, that's what the kids are calling it nowadays.
Yeah, the hot swag. Actually, I did get some hot swag from Freaknik. You know those Cat 5 little retractable things, so you can just pull them out and push a button and it retracts?
Yeah, I stole a bunch from work.
So you don't have to wind them up?
Uh-huh.
We got one that's really cool. It's gray. It's really small. It says Hacker Inside, Freaknik 8.
Yeah, I got one of those and one of the, the phone cords.
Yeah, I got one of the phone cords, too.
Yeah,
it's hooked up to my beige box. It makes
actually,
it
that's
easy.
Pretty cool to have in your kit if you're going around fixing computers.
Yeah. Or if you're in college and you don't have wireless internet because you go to school in Mississippi because you're hyper-intelligent. And then we got little water bottles. So the underage kids could walk around drinking. And I got a Freaknik 8 shirt because I spent 4 hours working for them.
What'd you do?
Well, I guarded the hospitality room, which was
this
massive.
You were a bouncer?
Yes. Pretty much you had to keep... Pretty much there was this room that was full of food that was open for anyone that wanted it.
Right.
And then I had to make sure that people didn't get rowdy or just, like, load up their backpacks.
Well, what the fuck were you going to do if something happened?
Nothing. I didn't do shit the whole time I was in there but drink coffee and talk to people.
Did you have to, like, ask, say, please, sir, step out of the way?
No. Never. People came out. It was, like, free food. Like, you came in there and there was water and there was chips and beef jerky and bananas up the ass.
Lots of bananas, huh?
Yeah, lots of bananas.
Any reason for that, or... Banana phone, perhaps?
Banana phone. I tried to get Lucky to sing Banana Phone, but he didn't want to. Several of us urinated on the Bell South building. And if you've never been to Nashville to check out the monument Bell South has built to their wealth, you should really go see this thing. It's freaking amazing. But I pissed on it. And while I was asking about Lucky and his Banana Phone magic, I learned a fact that all the music on that kid's computer has to do with phones. Like, he'll go from listening to, like, here's a quarter, call someone who cares, to some rap phone about, like, a bitch stealing his cell phone. And that's what he does.
Here's a quarter, call someone,
who cares. Let's see, I want to talk about modifying Xboxes. I went to a talk about setting up a recording studio, and pretty much the guy told us to do everything not the way we're doing it. He said Sound Blaster was a lot of crap, and that better stuff needed to be purchased, this, that, and the other. But we're going to stick with our old used crap because we don't really care.
Actually, I like to say something about that because I record music. Don't listen to that because, what did he recommend me using?
I didn't even write them down.
Because
the cheapest one was, like, $2.99.
Right, and I know a lot of people that record music from the house, actually bands, and they make it on the radio, and they sound just like anything else you'll hear. Of course,
maybe this guy wanted to make it sound better than the stuff you hear.
You're missing my point.
I always miss the point. It's all right.
The point is that some people, like me, and people that I hang around with, have more time than money. And some of us rather like spend $150 on a Sound Blaster than spend $400 or $500. I know people with like $800-$900 sound cards because that's what they do for a living. But my advice, anything above Sound Blaster Live is good.
All right.
Audigy, excellent.
Excellent.
Anything above that, then you should be getting paid for what you do. Like, heavily.
Excellent. Moving on from there, we've got, what else do we have a talk on? I don't really remember many of the talks.
Obviously, it was very interesting.
I'm just drawing a blank. Well, I did a lot of interacting with people. And that was a lot of fun.
Meeting people is always fun. Meeting people is always fun, but you can do that in a bar, actually. And
There was this place. They had 99 flavors of beer.
Yeah, they got this around here. You can go to the fucking bar scene and get that.
They were advertising that, but then they were lying because they had like 200 and something flavors of beer, and I spent some time there.
How far did you get?
Like to 4. I didn't bring much money with me.
Yeah, the Varsity's got the same thing. They got, like, I don't know how many imported drinks, and if you drink so many within a month, you get a plaque on the wall or something like that?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. Something like that.
Okay, you want to go ahead and go in with the emails, or?
Let's go into emails. Did you get any?
Yeah, you want to go first?
No.
Okay. On last episode, I got a few emails about last week's episode. One was about the Howard Stern. If you go to our stats page, you see that people coming to our site from Google or searching, and the bottom three in the list is Howard Stern's hemorrhoid shit. But okay, this guy gave us his real name. I'm actually not going to shout real names out, but let me just call him Dick. And he's a pretty cool guy. And it says email says I'm not a fan of Howard Stern, but I'm a fan of downloaded media. So during my daily at Supernova, I found what you're looking for. See attached pic. No, I like porn as much as the next guy, but I don't like, I don't think I ever want to see the world's largest hemorrhoid. P.S. He said, can I get a Gmail invite? Which I did. I sent one out to him. Oh, yeah, your ex-lesbian was the coolest guest yet. That and your taste in music is great. When I was listening to episode 7, I totally thought to myself that it should end with Code Blue, and then it did. You know, TSOL kicks ass. That's me. I like them. Yeah, if you have, like, something you want to hear on the show at the end, send it to me. I probably won't play it. You know, I have to like it to play it, because I'm not going to play it if I don't like it. And
yeah, I'm going to have to start listening to that music that you play after the show.
And in the show notes, I'll post the pic that he sent me was a screenshot he took of Supernova and the torrent you could download for that. He highlighted that. He actually highlighted it for us. This guy actually did some work. I appreciate that, man. It says Howard Stern's largest hemorrhoid. And you can download it. I don't know why people are coming to our site for that, but thanks, man. And we sent you an invite, so keep listening. And yes, my ex-lesbian thing. Yes, that was an old archive cunt of the week. And I would like to get her on the show, but you see, this chick, she's like, well, let me see, I'm 20, going to be 25. She must be 26 or 27. And yeah, she's dating this guy that's like 45 or some shit. No, actually,
she's
50.
A lesbian.
No, actually, she's 50. He's 50. Yeah, so he's older than my dad. And, yeah, he's an old, crusty man. But he got a high-paid job because of it. And if you're listening to this, Jenny, go fuck yourself. And she'll like that. Got another email. If you heard last week's episode, you heard me talking about criminal DNA they were collecting. And, you know, what, you know, I thought about that and them collecting that with fingerprints also. Somebody got to send me an email about that. And it's from Nick. And his email goes, TV is not reality. There's no giant international fingerprint database. Well, there may be, but it's not legal. If it were used, there would be so many privacy and civil rights groups coming down on it that it would be headline news for weeks. Yeah, I said there was a giant database. I was wrong. There are local databases, though. For your local police department. It was a slip of the tongue. I knew that already, but I fucked up. Anyway, going on with the email. Having recently gone through background checks, I can tell you that the fingerprints that are taken by local law enforcement are not shared with the state or federal agencies. Fingerprints must be taken for a specific purpose. For example, I had to use my fingerprints checked against the local PD database, police department database, the California Child Abuse Index, and the INS database. Each agency has to scan my hands to compare their own database. After the search was completed, since my prints were not being taken to insert into the database, they were destroyed once the check was complete. Well, at least I assume they were destroyed. I've got no problem with DNA being collected in the same fashion the fingerprints are, as long as it's treated with the same limitations as the existing systems. Which I agree with them. You know, there's a lot of people that go around, you know, fuck the police, you know, this and that, but you know what? When there's a murder, you call them up, and they got to solve it. You got to throw them a bone. There's so much red tape these guys got to have to go through to solve crimes. Am I with the DNA being collected? Yeah, sure. Just as long as it's the same thing as fingerprints. They use as fingerprints. Did you have any...
Well, I was thinking, I'd never realized that there was a local databases like that. I thought it would be one big thing that it got sent into.
No, because there's...
But I'm really excited. Really, really excited that it's only local. Like, you don't even know.
Oh, believe me, I'm glad, too. I have a few, not warrants anymore. Those are cleared out, but a few past, you know, past problems.
You have several things I don't want my fingerprints knowing about. Anyway, I got an email from a guy, and he goes by GHS Red Raider. And he was just reminiscing that we were talking about Starbucks on a couple episodes ago, and it reminded of him being in Boston, and there was a Dunkin' Donuts on every corner. There was one downstairs of a gym, there was one that had a sushi bar, there was one with a Starbucks in it, and they figured out why they're everywhere. It's a way to evenly distribute the police throughout the city.
You know, I like that.
There's also, he gave us some very random and useless information. And if you get printer ink all over your hands, Windex will work, water will not.
No shit, I didn't know that.
Well, if you ever get, like, toner spilt.
I've had that happen, yeah.
Windex is awesome. And I've just ended the AOL Instant Messenger. Sorry, everyone, for all those noises. I thought I'd close it out, but I didn't.
Thank you.
With AOL Instant Messenger, when you hit the X, it minimizes.
Yes, we all knew that.
I know, but like it's an X. It's supposed to close.
You're like talking about Windows 95. What are you talking about?
Speaking of Windows 95, I got an awesome Leet machine the other day. See, now I'm saying Leet. Ugh. Anyway, it was in some people's basements, an IBM PS1, and it was running Windows 95 like you would not believe. And now it's running Slackware like you would not believe.
Actually, I'm glad you read the email because I was thinking about that the other day. I'd rather Dunkin' Donuts because, like, you know, there's a place to sit. There's not Sophistos hanging around. And to be totally honest with you, I'd rather a couple cops being there. Like, for instance, when I get off of work at 4 or 5 in the morning, I usually have to go pick up a pack of cigarettes or something to drink, you know, to go before I go home. And all the convenience stores are open, of course, but I always go to the one where cops hanging out. There's one. It's actually a Be Quick. The cops are like, usually there's like 5 cops in front of there. And I always go to that one. Only because the rest of them have bums hanging out in the corners and people trying to sell you shit outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd much rather go where the pigs are hanging out.
Yeah. Definitely at night.
Yeah.
Unless I look like you, and then I don't know if I'd go.
This is true. I got another email. From Rocket Jim. Rocket Jim.
Rocket Jim.
He said, "Hoy hoy! Really love the show, guys, but I couldn't help but notice that although y'all have a link to Ben Rev, they don't link to you. This is crap. Give them hell. Keep up the good work. I'm out."
Really?
Yeah, why don't we have a link on Ben Rev?
Well, I actually asked Mr. Stank Diggity Dog himself about that. And he said, "Well, I shouted you out in the show, and there's a link to you on the show notes. Let's fire up the old Mozilla right here, and let's go to benrev.com. .com. Enter. Let's see. We've got affiliates. We got the Port 7 Alliance. We got In the Now. We got the Florida 2600. Freaks and Geeks. We got Rant Radio 2600. They have a link too. Geek Love Radio." Default Radio doesn't even go on anymore.
No, this is DDP member sites.
Yeah.
We're not DDP members, so we wouldn't
be there. An affiliate. I'm kind of anxious to see our little Infonomicon thing there.
Well, there's a spot missing right there if you notice.
There is.
You see that? You get a Port Alliance, In the Now, Freaks and Geeks, Florida 2600, Rant Radio, and right next there's Empty Spot. Right, that empty spot looks kind of tempting that it should say Infonomicon right there.
And it could say Infonomicon right there.
It could. We're like selling cars, aren't we? But actually,
it would look
I think
good there. It makes it more manly.
To be the truly
would like you.
To be truly honest with you, I think it's because we don't have we're not really spreading out our what they call buttons.
Yes, buttons.
Our link boxes, whatever the fuck they're called. I'm not a big fan of them, but we do have one. We need to start sending that out. Actually.
Well, I'm a fan of what mine looks like.
Ours actually looks pretty cool. I'm glad we have...
Ours was professionally designed by...
our listener, Pixel Fiend.
Excellent buddy, Pixel Fiend.
That is correct. Who also helps us with our shirts and
Our lingerie, our shirts.
Which we
he
still...
didn't help with the little buttons that I was handing out very much. So
yeah,
that's
but,
why they look like
and you
ass.
Can tell the difference.
Oh, could you ever tell the difference?
And,
all right.
And I think it's probably because of that. We didn't really, you know, we're not really thinking about it too much. But I gave that project to Droops, and I think he kind of fell off the wagon on that one.
Buddy, I've been off the wagon for the longest time.
Yeah, but we do have a link box, and we probably should start sending that out to people who use link. As you notice on my side, we don't use link boxes because it's too crowded and shit. I like just links. But a lot of other people use them, so we have one. We're going to start giving that out to people, telling them about that.
And ours is a little bigger than most, so
we
like it that
we can
way.
Size it down.
No. All right. Did you have any articles to read about stuff? Are you done with
and
your
I got
witty,
one more email?
Witty banner? Ugh.
I got like 5 emails this week, dude.
How come no one emails me?
Because.
From now on, the official show email address is droops@infonomicon.org.
Oh, yeah, we should probably get our email addresses out. Of course, mine is obfuscated@infonomicon.org, and his is droops at.
But the official one is the droops one.
No, it's obfuscated.
All right, moving on.
Okay, and we have one more email from. Okay, yes. And my last email is from. Actually, I sent a couple of emails. Bazork, I guess that's how you pronounce your name, dude. I'm not sure. Says, yo, man, I'm down with doing the haters thing for Freaknik if you actually do it. I'm downloading Skype right now. Hit me up. Actually, I was thinking about doing a haters show because, you know, everybody's going to Freaknik and it's just us losers hanging out at home.
Right.
But I didn't get enough work, you know, people saying they want to do it. So I didn't do it. But, we really want to start getting some listeners on the show, and I got to devise a plan to do that because we do the show very randomly during the week and release it on Tuesdays. So I got to devise a plan to tell y'all a week in advance so y'all can get your shit ready.
Yikes.
This guy actually sent us another email. Says, this same guy, Berserk. Dude, I'm glad you talked about Nutria on the fucking show, man. I used to live in Metairie and Kenner, and I fucking hate them things. I wish the world could see what kind of fucked up things they are. Oh, and a note about the bounty hunters for spam thing. If you check the FTC website, they say they will only pay people that have first-hand information and have a relationship or friendship with the spammer. They do not. They do this to eliminate the bounty hunters that pisses me off because I was down to getting back with some spammers. They are trying to offer $100,000 to $250,000 per arrest, which is insane amounts of money for a spammer. This is true. Well, fuck the Nutria, man. I got 4 of them chasing me over by West Esplanade Mall like a month ago. It sucked balls. They were aggressive fucks. I seen the JPs, which I'm sure is Jefferson Police, out shooting them once and like 2,000 on Veterans, which is Veterans Avenue. It was funny shit. Okay.
Excellent.
They were out there with M16 shooting them in the canal. Well, I like the show. Keep it up, and I hope you ditch that flu. He's talking about like episode 3, I think it was.
Yeah.
Leave it up to the fucked up New Orleans, Louisiana, to do that to you. This guy's cool because he used fuck a lot. I like this guy.
Yes.
Dude, he keep emailing us because I like emails that say fuck a lot.
But not emails that just say fuck.
True. You gotta put words between the fucks.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent email. I think he's starting up a project kind of like the Free Linux CD project.
Really?
I saw that somewhere.
Okay.
I'm sure on the Benrit forums.
Okay. If he's listening to the show, hit us up and tell us about that.
Yeah. And if you do go to freelinuxcd.org, it says here, Andrew Droops made a contribution of 5 MEPA CDs. Thank you, Andrew. I don't know who that is, but I'm the Droops guy.
The Drooperlitos?
The Drooperlito.
Now in Ranch.
And, now in Ranch. And, like I said, I sent 5 MEPA CDs in, and I just mailed a MEPA CD over to a fella named Jera. Maybe it's a chick named Jera. But I have their address. If anybody needs it, just email me.
Okay, man. You got some articles?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I know how much you love movies.
Yes, I do.
And you know how much I don't ever see movies.
Right.
Well, you know, like when a movie goes directly to DVD or directly to TV?
Right.
It's pretty much shorthand for this shit is bad.
Not always.
Yeah, usually shorthand.
Bad. Not always. A lot of independent films, really good independent films, come straight to video. But for the most, if it's a Hollywood movie and it goes straight to video, it means it sucks. If it's an independent film, it could go either way.
Well, anyway, in the next few weeks...
Because not all people have enough money to pay to get movies in movie theaters. But that's my love.
There is going to be a DVD release of a new holiday movie starring Penelope Cruz and Susan Sarandon.
Okay, that's going to suck. Those two names together just want to puke in my pants.
You don't think of them as in a movie together. No, actually, on the cover, Penelope Cruz is holding some dude, and Susan Sarandon's kind of standing off to the side looking
isn't
away.
Isn't she like 110 today or something? Or
yeah, she actually turned 110 last week.
Okay.
Anyway, this movie is actually part of an experiment in more than one thing. But the main experiment, it's going to provide clues of how movies are going to be distributed in the future. Now, when I say a few weeks, I mean November 12th. It's a Howard Rosnan new independent film called Noel. But it's going to be on about 100 movie theater screens throughout the country. But at the same time, it's also going to be available on disposable DVDs sold at Amazon.com.
Didn't they do this already with the DivX, disposable DVDs?
They kind of did there with the DivX, but this way you don't have to buy a special DivX player. You know, it'll just play on a regular DVD player. Anyway, later on, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, remember, this is on the 12th it's being released. Thanksgiving's what? Later in the month.
Fuck, I don't know. Turkey Day. Well, I don't know.
Turkey Day, my wife's laughing at me. She's in the background. She's like, he doesn't know my birthday. It's okay. Anyway, that Sunday after Thanksgiving.
That's her birthday?
No.
Oh.
I don't know dates.
That's her birthday? Thanksgiving?
No.
Oh.
Her birthday's actually like January 13th, maybe. Show me your titties if I'm right. I'm right! Anyway, Thanksgiving, Sunday after Thanksgiving, Noel is going to be aired on Time Warner Incorporated's TNT cable channel. Now, this DVD release comes with a hitch. It's $4.99, but it's coated with a chemical that makes the movie unplayable 48 hours after the package has been opened. And granted, we've all heard of ways to coat the thing with something like clear spray from model making and shit like that.
Or diarrhea something.
Or diarrhea, you know, if you can find some.
I got some, actually. Today's been a horrible day.
And coating it. Anyway, and this is called FlexPlay for this disposable DVD technology. Now, Walt Disney Company is using the same technology on a trial basis in certain markets around the country. It's offering disposable versions of already released movies for customers who don't want the hassle of returning a rental DVD. Okay, first of all, that's just fucking litter. And okay. That's lazy sons of bitches.
Considering Susan Sarandon's doing part of being a movie part of this, I would consider she'd be against it.
Yeah. Anyway, the multi-pronged release strategy for Noel is a small-scale test of the big idea that most of the Hollywood studios are mulling about. They're hoping to minimize piracy and maximize revenue. The students are contemplating ways to release movies to theaters and homes simultaneously, perhaps at different price points. Several studios have actually pondered such a strategy, though no one has tried it as an experiment. And many players in the Hollywood ecosystem, such as theater owners, are worried about such an approach. Such a movie is a far cry from the traditional setup, which studios try to squeeze as much money as they can from theatrical releases before sending a movie to other revenue-generating windows. Videotape DVD comes next in line, then pay-per-view television, premium TV channels, and finally network TV. Movie makers have long assumed that if a film goes right to DVD, no one bother going to theaters to catch it. Now, selling a movie into the home on a pay-per-view basis, at the same time it hits the theaters, is most likely the first thing to change. One studio's find a privacy-proof way to do it. The idea is to appeal to those who like to see new movies but can't make it to the theaters. Parents with young children, to stuff like that. And to maximize revenue but avoid cannibalization, box office sales, studios are likely to put a high price on such a movie, perhaps the cost of 6 to 8 movie tickets. But at that price, the movie would need to deliver the value of a big Hollywood blockbuster like Spider-Man, not a modest independent film like Noel. Now, I'm not going to pay, like, if ticket's $8, so I'm not going to pay $64 to watch a movie fucking twice at my house while it's in the theater.
Okay, and
like, that's fucking ridiculous.
It really pisses me off that they're only doing this whole thing, which the DivX has failed already. We know that. No one, because most people go see movies. Most people are not into technology, okay?
Yeah.
And they, you know, and people get aggravated when new technology comes out that keeps coming out, like, you know, like, we just came out with DVDs. Not just came out, but it's like in the middle of the integration process. We're like, within the last couple of years, we just got rid of VHS.
Yeah.
Now they're starting to shift new technology at us. You know, consumers get aggravated at this. And the only reason why they're pushing this technology is because of piracy, okay? Now, they're doing this, it's going to fuck up a whole train of systems. Like, You're gonna, number one, you're going to fuck up the environment. Not that I'm a fucking hippie, but you're going to fuck up the environment by doing this, okay?
If anybody, like, that's just fucking litter. Like, that's just horrible. That's worse than AOL.
Exactly. And also, you're fucking up a technology, a progressive technology with, they're starting to integrate digital projectors in movie theaters, okay? They're starting to put that in there. I don't know if that's going to ever take off, but they're starting to do that. Now, that technology could spawn other technologies. So if you get rid of the movie theater experience, which is going to, if this ever takes off, it's going to get rid of the movie theater.
Yeah, because people are building their own home theaters.
Right. And why go see a movie when you can just get it? Right?
Why watch it at your convenience.
Yeah, why do that? You're going
to
fuck up a
whole...
You
don't have to worry about stupid kids playing with laser pointers.
No. I support the movie theaters because I actually enjoy going to the movie theater. It's an experience. Okay? I just don't go to the movie theater to go see a movie because I can just wait a little bit, like about a couple months, and see it on DVD. I go to the movie theater because of the experience. I like going to the movie theater. And besides that bullshit, like I said before, you're fucking up a technology. With the satellites, there's been a couple proposed ideas for sending projectors, you know, using projectors, digital projectors instead of the old film ones they have. They play with the idea. I know they showed a few ones with satellites. You know, the production company puts the movie on a satellite, and then the theater picks it up from the satellite and shoots it off onto the theater. So you got a whole business technology thing going on that you're going to fuck up just because somebody is you're losing like $50,000 off of a movie that's already going to make about, you know, $200 million.
Well, as we all know, I'm a bastard, and I feel that if something competes better than the music industry, like, though, not the music industry, but the movie industry with the theaters, if something puts it out of business, then too fucking bad, and it's a great experience that you're going to lose. But if that's the way consumers want things, that's the way it's going to go. Like, the Amish would argue that horse and buggy is a fine way to travel, but I don't see you fucking shoveling shit in a horse.
But do you know how much innovation the movie theater industry has made over the past 100 years?
And do you think they're not going to innovate more by making new CDs new ways of distributing things?
Movie theater doesn't do that.
They're going to innovate. Everyone innovates. If the movie theater can't hold itself up in business, then the movie theater needs to go away. And I hate to say that, but that's the way business works. And that's the way the world works.
No. Number one, this is not going to take off. It's not by a long shot. It's not going to take off.
Like, if they had a button in your car that you could push and get McDonald's food whenever you wanted, every fucking McDonald's store would close. Because no one would drive to the fucking store anymore. They would just hit the button in their car.
Well, no. We're talking about two different things.
No, we're not. We're talking about the convenience of saying, hey, I want this movie and I want to watch it Saturday at 9 o'clock when Julie comes over, and getting the bastard. Having delivered it to your door the day it comes out, you know? That's what we're talking about.
Not particularly. No, we're not.
Okay, go ahead. What are we talking about?
Number one, this is not going to take off. So I'm not worried.
Well, and if it doesn't, then the movie theaters are fine and it's great, but things have to evolve. We've talked about that on the show. Things have to change.
This is true, but it's not going to work. Not with DivX. Wherever the fuck it's called, it's the same technology, pretty much.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, if it doesn't happen, then it's great.
Because there's also a social aspect to this. You got to realize, movie theaters, that I'm not just talking about being a movie geek. There's also an experience. You know, you go out on a date, you get all dressed up, you go out, you go to dinner, right? So there's also, like, you know, stuff that's out of scope in the whole thing, the deal. There's a whole social aspect to it. You know, you go to a movie theater, you go to dinner, and you get laid. Oh, instead of you bring Julie, whoever the fuck you're talking about.
Julie Andrews, man, she is fucking hot.
Yeah, and you bring Julie Andrews to your house, to your dirty fucking, your dirty.
And she sings.
Your dirty. Didn't she Sound of Music?
Yeah, dude.
Oh my fucking God.
The hills are alive.
With the sound of music.
La, 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 la.
Anyway, this is not going to happen. The whole, like, this has been tried before, and no one's going to go for it. The DivX
thing. I don't know.
No, the DivX thing has been tried before, and this is the same technology. Shift around a little bit, but it's the same thing. You bring a movie home, you watch it twice or whatever, and then you throw it away.
And I don't think DivX was released the same time the movie was.
No, I'm talking about the technology itself.
Okay.
Just the existing technology itself. It's a disc that you can only watch a few times. That's what I'm talking about. That's okay. No one's going to go through that shit. And how do you get this through? How do you go by doing this? Do they say you go to Amazon? Do you have to order it?
You got to get it from Amazon.com is what they said. For this one.
So you meet this chick.
Well, it's going to change.
You get this chick on Thursday, and you say, hey, you want to go to movies? Oh, wait a minute. My shopping cart's full. I have to... Wait time is 2 days, you know. I can't take you out.
Anyway, we'll see. They're going to evolve. Oh, my God. I'm looking up Julie Andrews right now, and she's not aging gracefully.
Anyway, I don't feel it's going to work. And only
excellent. Julie Andrews wallpaper with her old.
And what happens is, what they're going to find out is that there's going to be more piracy doing it this way than it was originally. They're stepping into a fucking snake pit.
Yeah.
Why go bring your video recorder or try to find some guy who works in a movie theater to copy the film when you could just go to fucking Amazon and copy it?
Yeah, this is true.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Okay, next article. Actually, TI announces plans for cell phone TVs. Texas Instruments unveiled plans Thursday for the industry's first cell phone capable of receiving high-definition TV broadcast signals. The Hollywood chip will capture digital signals and let cell phone users to watch live TV broadcasts, the Dallas company said in news release. Texas Instruments plans to have sample phones available in 2006 with mass marketing plans in 2007. Sprint AT&T Wireless currently offers live streaming from a dozen TV channels to its cell phone users, but the delivery is slow and does not simulate actual TV broadcasts, the New York Times said Thursday. Qualcomm, the world's second largest maker of mobile phone chips, is also working on a chip to enable phones to receive digital television signals, the Times said. And this is a quote. There's no reason why in 3 or 4 years you won't have 200 channels on your cell phone, said Mark Seco, whatever the fuck his name is, as a general manager in Texas Instruments handset division.
Excellent. Now, is this going to be broadcast local stations, or is it broadcast through the network?
It doesn't say, but I assume it's not going to be any local. It's all going to be coming from national television stations.
Okay.
Because it'll take time for the technology to advance for your local affiliates to broadcast local news and shit like that. It'll take like way longer than 2007 for them to integrate that.
Well, if they just put like a little TV tuner inside of it, then it would be really easy for them to do that.
True. And this sounds like a good idea. I'm not a person going to be watching fucking TV on my cell phone. I don't even watch TV on my TV.
Yeah.
But,
Well, sure. My wife has the option on her Sprint phone of getting the Sprint TV, and we've been talking about getting it just to play around with it.
Mm-hmm. How much is that service?
I think it's $10 a month, right? 10 or 15, she's saying.
That's not bad. How many channels do you get?
10 channels. No. It's a lot of channels. A lot more than 10. According to the boss.
I'm curious what that technology's like.
Yeah, we should really try this out. I wonder if we can try it for a month and then cancel it. I wonder if it even works here where I live.
Okay, go ahead, man.
Anyway, next one, we're talking about, first there was the Apple iPod. And then there was the iPod Mini. Right?
Okay.
But first there was the Apple Store, and now there's the Apple Mini Store. Apple Computer the other day said it's opening a mini version of its standard retail store to penetrate shopping locations it hasn't reached in the past. There's going to be lower overhead, less space requirements. The new store will appear in locations not open to Apple's standard size outlets, such as airports, smaller malls, and more neighborhood shopping streets. That's kind of interesting. The computer maker opened its first retail store in 2001 and now has 87 stores across the country and in Japan. Unlike failed retail endeavors by technology companies such as Gateway, Apple stores have actually thrived, which is fueled by consumer interest in products such as the iPod. On Wednesday, which was like last week Wednesday, Apple said its stores contributed nearly $400 million, or nearly 17% of its revenue, for the most recently ended fiscal quarter. Stevie said Apple's began working on mini stores a year ago after drawing inspiration from the concept of the Mini Cooper car. Apple prototyped the store in a Cupertino warehouse before building it in malls and other locations. The store sports stainless steel walls and self-checkouts.
Kind of like Radio Shack type of deal.
But yeah.
Size of Radio Shack.
Ron Johnson, which sounds a lot like Don Johnson, who heads Apple's retail operation, said many of the mini stores will be located in towns that Apple hasn't appeared in yet or locales that are a 15-minute drive away from existing stores. By year end, Apple will open up 9 mini stores. Okay, 15 minutes is not a far way to drive to go from one Apple store to another. They need to open up a frickin' Apple store in Memphis, Tennessee, Tupelo, Mississippi, open up a little mini, just so I can go play with stuff.
Just because of you.
Just because of me. And I won't give them any money.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool that there's actual demand for stores for Apple. I would have never
thought.
I would have never thought there would have been a demand, but obviously there is. It's pretty cool.
Well, the iPod is going big. Like, I have a guy I met the other day. He said he had seen an advanced iPod, and it's clear. The new HP ones are going to be clear.
Kind of like Con Air phones back in the day.
For the 60 gig. Yeah, and of course, with U2 coming out with the new iPod, it's all black. It's got a whole bunch of U2 songs on it.
I'll be getting that.
Be hurrying up to spend $400 on that bastard.
Can I see Bono? Does his dick like laid out on there or something? Or his Irish penis?
Well, the iPods are kind of small, so... Call it a Bono Mini. That's all the jokes I got here at 1 a.m. But I think this is really a cool little idea. I do think they're kind of silly with moving stuff that's 15 minutes away. Like, I live in a really small town. And it takes me like 15 minutes to get across town, maybe, in like rush hour. And that's not any distance at all.
Yeah, and like
a city, 15 minutes
cities,
is nothing.
Man. They're talking
15
maybe.
Minutes is nothing in a city.
Well, you got to realize traffic, dude. When I was
I know, but like...
So you're not thinking about... Because... If you're living, like, say, in Atlanta, right?
15 minutes is 15 minutes, no matter what. Traffic or no traffic, 15 minutes is 15 minutes. That's nowhere to drive.
15 minutes, a 15-minute drive could take, like, an hour.
No, it's a 15-minute drive.
So you're telling me at 2 a.m., it's the same amount of time to get to somewhere than it is at 5 p.m. during rush hour?
No, they said they're locating it 15-minute drives away. They didn't say 15 miles.
Well, they're not... Would you... No.
And they're probably talking about 15 minutes during business hours, so 2 a.m. would be out of the question.
So that's like 1 mile apart. You're saying
anyway,
it's like 1 mile apart.
They need to put them in different towns.
No, I agree. I agree with them and say they should put it in the same city.
Why? You only need one Apple store in the city.
When's the last time you lived in a large metropolitan area?
I've never lived in a large metropolitan area.
Okay.
So I'm used to driving an hour and a half to go to a computer store.
Okay. Large
so 15 minutes is just a bunch of shit.
Large metropolitan areas are usually broken up into different spots. Like, for instance, in Atlanta, if you live in one corner of it, there'll be like, you know, 3 grocery stores, a Walmart, and all the other stuff that you see in the other town is local, just this 1 5-square-mile block, right? And then the next 5-square-mile block, you'll have the same exact things. And there's reasons for this because people, during certain times of the day, don't want to drive all the way across town because they'll never go. Like, for instance, if there was one Apple store in Atlanta, right, just one, right in the center of downtown, there would only be people in that one area or people diehard or just diehard Apple fans, right? Or you got surrounding areas like Roswell, Alpharetta, and a few other surrounding towns won't go because it's just too much of a fucking hassle just to go downtown, just to look at a computer. Okay? They're trying to target people who wouldn't normally go to an Apple store.
Well, why aren't they trying to target people that have no Apple store?
They're getting there. This thing is fairly new, man. And believe me, their first, I'm sure that their marketing department is not going, oh, our first concern should be like Mississippi and Louisiana. I'm sure we're not their target audience. But they'll get here eventually. I'm sure they will.
I'm just jealous, I think. Like, why should someplace have two? And again, you said that fanatics will go. Have you ever met a guy that had a Mac that wasn't a fanatic?
Yeah. I know a lot of college kids, their parents have money, and, you know, just back when the whole, like, the laptop thing came out, the different mm-hmm. colors and shit, you know, each kid had to have one, you know, or two. You know, yeah. You got those, you know, college freshmen that parents give them anything they want, and, of course, they want the thing that looks cool. You know, I met them. They have Macs. They're not fanatics, but, of course, they're the minority. Yeah, most people I know that have, like, Mac desktops are fanatics, which is not a bad thing. Just that's the way it is. Just kind of like somebody has Linux on their desktop.
Yeah. Well, there's a bug on my floor. Let me kill it. Hey, Jay, let me wear your shoe.
Won't you use your shoe?
Because I'm not wearing shoes. I'm naked. Hold on 1 second. On a random note, I was just trying to install Skype on my laptop so we could play around with it. So I type app-get space install space Skype. It said it's reading the packets list, it's reading the building a dependency tree, and then it says Skype is already installed in the newest version. Because Mepis, the new version of it, comes with Skype. I think this is awesome.
That is really cool.
So I am running the bitch now. So maybe next time you hear me on the show, you know, in a couple weeks, I'll be running Linux and using Skype.
Okay.
All right, go ahead with your article.
William Shatner wants to do real space flight. Star Trek star William Shatner, the former captain of the USS Enterprise, is willing to pay $210,000 for a seat on one Virgin Group's first proposed commercial space flights. Virgin's chief, Richard Branson, indicated that more than 7,000 people have expressed interest in paying $210,000 fare for a chance to be blasted 70 miles above the Earth. Branson, where the fuck his cat's name is, has committed more than $100 million for spaceships and ground infrastructure. He has also spent more than $20 million to license the rights to Spaceship One's technology. Branson hopes to launch the first commercial space flight by 2008. He also said that he would go on the first flight along with his family. Sir Richard Branson, born July 18, 1950, is best known worldwide successful Virgin Group brand. A variety of business organizations include music, travel, electronics, and more. This dude's going to take his fucking family.
Doesn't that guy have a reality show that's coming out?
I don't know. I don't watch TV, dude. He probably is if he's part of Virgin, sure.
I don't watch TV either, but I happened to catch something this weekend.
But, would you pay $210,000 to go on a space flight?
If I had enough that wouldn't hurt me, yeah.
I wouldn't.
And I'd send my wife up there because she really wants to go. And I don't even ride roller coasters, so I wouldn't go at all.
I'm going to tell you why I wouldn't go. Number one is that there's a cruise ship that goes out of New Orleans. It's called the Cruise to Nowhere. You know what this thing does? It goes out in the middle of the Gulf and turns back around. And this is exactly what this is. Now, if you're telling me, oh, we're going to take a trip to fucking Pluto, right? And I get to, like, jerk off on a different planet, then I'll say, fucking right. But no, this is just going, like, up into space, like, 75 miles up and be like, okay, let's turn around now.
I'd really like to look down on Earth and take a picture of the whole thing.
That's why you send people that's not you, like your wife. Just in case something happens.
Exactly. No. She likes riding roller coasters stuff. I think going up to space would be really cool for her.
Kind of different, but yeah.
Yeah. But then she'd be like, I want to have sex with a real man, and you're just not him.
What an astronaut.
She's all dating Neil Armstrong.
Astro penis.
She's like, he's like 300 years old.
No, he's not. He's like 200.
He's like 200.
Okay, go ahead, man.
Oh, is it my turn? Well, Microsoft is just set its pricing policy on next generation of computer chips. Well, as we know, that AMD and Intel are going to come out with new chips that have multiple cores on them. In fact, next year they plan to deliver their first dual-core products, which takes the name from putting the core circuitry of two microprocessors on a single piece of silicon. Other companies, including IBM and Sun Microsystems, have already introduced such chips. But if you have a server that has two processors in it, your site license, you have to pay for, you have to pay twice for that particular computer because there's two processors in it. And corporate customers are a little worried about having to pay for a chip that has a dual core. Microsoft the other day announced that it won't charge customers more if they use dual core chips. The pricing policy means, for example, a customer won't pay extra software when upgrading the two-server chip. A two-server chip with dual core. And this change will provide computing power akin to that of four microprocessors. Whatever. Multi-core chips are a big step in Moore's Law, somebody from Microsoft said. We don't want this to mean more revenue to us or more cost to our customers. That's kind of funny, isn't it?
We're Microsoft. We do not want more money. We promise.
Oh, we've got enough. We're going to sell everything at cost now until we get back into the game.
Yeah, so we get like Windows 90, Windows XP for like, $10 now, finally.
It's like, mail us a CD and put a self-addressed stamped envelope in it, and it'll come back with XP on it.
Freewindows.org, huh?
Yeah, freewindows.org. I read somewhere that someone figured out if Bill Gates dropped a $100 bill, it was cheaper for him to keep walking than it was for him to turn around and pick it up.
That's like me with pennies.
Oh, really?
Actually, no, it's not.
If I see a penny, I pick that bitch up. And I lick it for luck.
Just like Telly Savalas' head.
Just like Telly Savalas' head. Man, I would lick that guy's head any minute now.
I don't know about all that now.
And then I'd chew my toothpick.
Speaking of Microsoft, Microsoft has posted the full transcript of CEO Steve Ballmer's appearance yesterday at the Gartner Symposium at IT Expo in Florida. The discussion covered lots of topics, from Linux to Halo 2. But one of the more interesting exchanges involved Ballmer's thoughts on security, and this is like the transcript. I'm going to read. I think at this stage, if I can't say nothing else, I can say I think we've learned a lot about security than basically anybody else in the world. That's the kind of good news and bad news being in the position we've been in with the kind of market share. It's really, as we really need to focus on a few things. One, we do need to engineer a few vulnerabilities going forward. We have changed our development process. We have a whole new set of development tools which we will.
Hello?
He's making up words here. Productive ties? No, seriously, P-R-O...
That's really a word he put in?
P-R-O-D-U-C-T-I-Z-E. Productized.
That's making up a word.
Which we will productize also for our customers to help spot potential security vulnerabilities. We have trained our engineers in a different way. Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah. That training is available for third parties. And that does make a dramatic difference. We see in Windows XP Service Pack 2, we saw it in Windows Server 2003. I can't say today all vulnerabilities will be eliminated. Plan on it. I think it will be naive for anybody to say that, partly because the hackers get smarter, too, and the threat models get more sophisticated. But we're making big progress.
What?
Huh?
These guys are really have their heads up their asses.
One, we need to engineer a few vulnerabilities going forward. Yeah,
what the hell does that mean?
You're engineering.
They have more vulnerabilities than.
So they make it more as soon as they get fixed.
We need a couple more that are better.
Developers. We need more.
Developers.
We need more vulnerabilities.
Just write some more code and boom.
Just do what you're doing, guys. You're doing it good.
You're doing a good job. keep going forward on that. I had an excellent Microsoft article that I was about to read, but I can't find it anywhere. It basically went along the lines that Cisco and Microsoft have been asked by their customers, because there's such a gaping security hole, that they need to work together so that they can fix this problem with unsecure networks. And at the end of the article, which I really wish I hadn't lost, there was an excellent quote by a Microsoft guy. Like, the whole article, first of all, was about how their customers wanted this and they've decided to do it. Pretty much that's what you do in a business, is when your customers request something, you do it. And at the end of it, it's like, we want to see the, you know, all these holes get filled. And, like, the guy's quote was totally, like, Microsoft called up Cisco when they was like, hey, Larry, we're going to work together, we're going to get this good. And Larry's like, all right, Bill. No, no, no. The customers demanded it. Because for years now, they haven't worked together as well as they should. And, anyway, now they're going to try to.
Well, you don't always do what customers tell you to. I had one customer tell me to go fuck myself before.
If customers wanted fucking chewing gum on their pizzas, and this customer that paid you $100 a week to deliver pizzas to your house, you would put some goddamn chewing gum on his pizza.
Oh, goddamn right. I also was like spitting it and hot loogies and
well, whatever.
Vomit.
But he'd get his bubble gum.
Oh, goddamn right he would. I don't mind spitting in people's pizza now.
Where do you work again?
I make a habit of it. It's my trademark, bitch.
Where do you work again?
Wing Zone.
Wing Zone.
On Nicholson Drive. Hit me up. Ask for a Ronnie.
Drivers. Can I have Ronnie the Italian, please?
Ronnie the Dago. Okay,
speaking
of security holes the size of a porn star's ass, Google, our favorite company, Google has made a name for itself by searching the web, but security researchers doing their usual search for vulnerabilities have found flaws in the company's software that could allow alterations of search results or assist in malicious solicitations for information known as phishing. Google spent the first part of the week responding to a 2-year-old vulnerability posted to the popular security site BugTrap by Jim Lee, or whatever the fuck, a security researcher. After Google indicated it had fixed the issue, UK firm Netcraft announced another similar vulnerability, which has also been addressed, according to Netcraft. The vulnerabilities, which involved the way the Google service generates web pages without ensuring their legitimacy, could also allow bogus sites to show up in the Google search results. These phony sites are the basis of increasingly serious phishing attacks, which involve tricking users into providing personal and financial information on official-looking sites. While they have been addressed, the search engine security holes might be a sign of Google's coming challenge to keep its searches safe from the attacks as it adds new features and functionality, such as a desktop search capability that could have made this week's search security issues more serious. Netcraft praised Google for its fast response to the second similar security issue, but also indicated that the weakness could have resulted in significant attacks by using Google's own name and reputation. This is a quote. Google has fixed a phishing vulnerability that was discovered by Netcraft on Wednesday, a statement on Netcraft's site said Friday. Google notified Netcraft that they closed the vulnerability today at 6:30 BST, was that British Standard Time?
I reckon.
Fuck. Making this less than a 2-day response, much faster than the 2-year reported by Jim Lay when he discovered a separate but similar bug. Netcraft also Netcraft said both vulnerabilities could have allowed people who do fraud to inject content onto Google's website, making it appear as though published by Google. This is a very effective form of phishing, as people are more likely to trust content if it appears to be hosted on a familiar domain, Netcraft said. So Google's slipping. The dawn is upon us.
Well, there's no software that's perfect.
No.
But at least they fixed it quickly, huh?
2 years, sure, yeah.
And whatever.
you know, gods do not make mistakes.
Well, they fixed the second one pretty quick.
Yeah. depressing.
Yeah.
They were doing so good. Why?
Why indeed?
Why is why?
Drink Bud Dry. Speaking of how great Microsoft is, good corporate behavior is too important to be left to human beings. Well, that's the assumption behind a new compliance server from Intrust Incorporated, a Dallas company. And this compliance server scans email traffic, looking not only for possible violations in federal legislation, but also for sexual harassment, vulgarity, intellectual property, and privacy violations. You can't rely on individuals, says Bill Connor, Intrust chief executive. But it's not yet clear whether this machine can do better. To test the filters, Intrust fed 620,000 publicly available emails from Enron Corporation through the auditing system. The scan, which inspects about 36,000 messages an hour, took about 15 hours. A few documents were flagged for possibly improper forward-looking statements and other financial advice, as well as some profanity, which Liam McMillan, an Intrust vice president, said was not a huge surprise. But would the audit have triggered a review that have uncovered potentially fraudulent accounting or prevented Enron's collapse? That's hard to say. We're going to continue looking at it. So, pretty much they're not trusting people, and they're letting the computer scan your email for how nice you are.
This is a defunct company that they're doing this to.
Well, the Enron, they're just an example. They don't probably a real company that still goes. Doesn't want them reading that.
If you're sending emails through a company website, through the company's intranet, to clients or to other people that work for you, work with you, then I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't see a problem either.
Yeah, you know, if you're emailing, you know, Sarah across the room telling you how you want to lick her clit, then you probably shouldn't be doing that. It's your own fucking stupidity.
But it'd be cool.
It's the company's priority to get basically what they ban you for.
Yeah.
Work. And if you send, you know, like, you know, your friend messages, hey, check out this pic I just downloaded. Then of course you're gonna get fucking fired being a moron. Do that in your own time.
Well, there's a whole lot of ways that they're monitoring you anyway. This is just another one. I saw a presentation on SpectreSoft at Freaknik, and that bastard, look into it. It's horrible. There's a guy named Acidus that has a presentation available on his website, and it's eye-opening. It's really interesting.
What's his website?
I think it's yak.net/acidus. It's acid US.
Okay, I'll put a link on the show notes. And also, I went to see Team America. Don't listen to Ebert, that fat fuck. You know, it's not.
I like the way they're. I like the theme song on that Team America show.
Team America show. The movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody go see that. It's not. You know, it's not the best cinematic achievement of all time. It kind of goes and has its spots where it's like. But it's fun. It's no like you know. It's not going to lighten you any. It's just a fun fucking movie.
Excellent.
So I give it one penis up.
One wiener up?
One wiener up.
Excellent.
Oh, also, some good news. Good news. Britney Spears is thinking about retiring.
From what?
Showing her cunt on the air. I don't fucking know what she does. But that's good. We get rid of her. The next go Christina Aguilera.
Now we got Britney Spears comeback commercials to look, or concerts to look for.
Yeah, but by that time, no one's going to give a fuck. It'll be like Cher.
I care about Cher.
It's like, who gives a shit? Oh, Cher's doing another appearance. Who gives a fuck? I couldn't give a fuck. Have you seen her lately?
No.
Oh, my God.
My mom went to her concert when she came to Baton Rouge.
It looks like somebody put a bunch of fish hooks in her face and just pulled back.
Well, she's really old.
Well, no, I'm talking about the plastic surgery.
I know, but she's really old. She needs that kind of stuff.
No, you know what? I don't go with that, man. If you're going to be old, be old. getting this facial shit does, you know, it doesn't make you look any better. It just makes you look stupid.
Get an old hat.
Watch. I'm going to show you. Hold on.
What?
I'm going to show you. Hold on for a second.
This is more of a personal interest story. There's a person whose name I can't pronounce. It's Jashia Grabwonski, returned through her Minnesota home a few days ago from a long vacation in Poland. The first thing she did was call her phone company. Not to complain about Bell South for being bastards, she actually called her phone company World Discount Telecommunication Incorporated. The 72-year-old dental surgeon wasn't having any kind of problem with her phone service, because she's not using Bell South. She just wanted to tell Margaret Kresquala, a WTD, which stands for World Discount Telecommunications, of course, operator, this operator she had never met, all about her trip. The two of them spoke for about 10 minutes. "I love calling Margaret," says Dr. Grabwonski, who says she has phoned Miss Kresala for more than a dozen times in the past 6 years, just to chat. She always makes time for me. In the U.S., the days of a chatty phone operator are long gone, unless you speak a language like Polish, Russian, or Korean. Most long-distance phone companies with an eye for profit and efficiency have become so automated it's very difficult to reach a real person at the end of the line. Not so at WDT. This small telecom carrier geared to Polish and other Eastern European immigrants with a loyal following of about 80,000 customers across the nation. The company sells cheap phone connections to Eastern Europe. It has about 24 operators, most of them crammed into a converted garage in a Chicago suburb, who spend hours on the phone each day chatting with immigrants, frequently in their native languages. The company's business offices are in Dallas. WDT's workers, who wear gray company t-shirts, sometimes place phone calls as operators used to do. Mainly, they are busy setting up new customers and handling billing issues, but they also are free to talk. Assuming it's a reasonable request, we do anything we can do to help our customers, says Polish immigrant Andrew Poliksniak-Soka, WDT's co-founder. So pretty much, if you speak a foreign language, you can call this little small-time phone company and chat up the operators.
Okay.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. I like the alternative and having friends.
Well, you can talk to people in your foreign language like you. Some people forget their foreign language as long as they have it. You know, they don't talk it very often.
My foreign language is English, and I talk to people on a regular basis with it. I enjoy it. It's been very fruitful for me.
Ah, you bastard.
Interesting article there, Droops. Anyway.
Look. Okay, shut up.
Huh?
You're just a son of a bitch. All right, well, let's hear your great article, my friend.
Okay, man. Firefox smashes funding target. Firefox advocates call for donations to pay for an advertisement in the New York Times has more than reached its target, only 3 days into the campaign. The campaign run by SpreadFox volunteers started Tuesday to raise money to place a full-page ad for the launch of its open-source browser in the New York Times. The goal was to get 2,500 people to donate $30 or more to the marketing fund within 10 days, or before the official release date of Firefox 1.0 on November 9th. Bart Decrim, I think his name is, spokesman from Mozilla Foundation, said on Friday that the Spread Firefox organization has already raised more than $100,000, enough for a couple of ads in the New York Times. The Mozilla Foundation, which developed the Firefox browser, is endorsing the volunteer campaign. This is a quote. "We've definitely funded the ad and then some. It's so impressive, the excitement around this and the numbers of people who did it. People are coming out of nowhere to join. Supporters will get their name in the ad, with community campaign status being awarded to anyone who signed up 10 members or more. Any money left over from the ads will be used to fund other Mozilla projects, according to the SpreadFox website. Already available in the preview version, the Firefox browser has passed the 5 million download mark on Monday. It blew up its initial download goal of 1 million downloads 4 weeks ago." So that's pretty interesting that a company, non-profit for company, are they non-profit?
Non-profit, buddy.
That they can actually get enough money to put in the fucking New York Times.
That's amazing. That's a big support by the community.
Yeah.
And it's not all just the community. It's people that use Firefox.
Mm-hmm. And they got this within 10 days. Within 10 days.
That's amazing.
So
that's amazing.
So everybody get Firefox and stuff.
Actually, there's no Firefox version for Mac OS 9.
That's why
you have to have OS 10 or later.
Oh, really? Interesting. So what?
Yeah.
It has its own browser?
You have to use Mozilla. You can't just use Firefox.
Right. Okay.
I just learned that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, back to our buddies over at Microsoft Corporation. They've said that retailers have taken more than 1.5 million orders for a video game crucial to its long-term quest to expand its market share against Sony Corporation in video games. The orders for Halo 2 mark a milestone for Microsoft, which has a strong showing in the video game business since its launch of the Xbox in 2001, but remains and also ran against Sony. The game, which features master soldiers protecting Earth from aliens, goes on sale November 9th at retailers in key markets worldwide. Video game makers regularly book orders for games before the sale date. Orders for Halo 2 will be closely watched by analysts because of the success of the game's predecessor, Halo, which has been the single most important driver of sales for Microsoft's Xbox game console. When Microsoft launched the Xbox in 2001, Halo quickly became the one property that attracted millions of gamers to the Microsoft console. It's made by Bungie Studios, which is a game developer owned by Microsoft. Halo is not only available, is only available on the Xbox. The game has sold 5 million copies since it went on sale in late 2001. By comparison, Electronic Arts Incorporated, the world's largest video game publisher, took more than 500,000 orders for the latest version of its popular Madden NFL game before it went on sale in August. Madden, which is available on multiple game consoles, racked up 2.2 million units. It's on track to hit sales of 5 million by the year's end, according to Electronic Arts spokesman. Now, remember we were just talking about Microsoft and security? Let's read this next article. Mr. Moore said that over the past week, Microsoft has worked to stop websites from distributing stolen versions of Halo 2 that surfaced Wednesday. Microsoft is trying to stop the spread of the Halo 2 copy, which is believed to have been stolen from a European factory pressing the game into DVDs. Software security isn't the only way. You've got to have physical security, too.
Yeah, like Droops the Bodyguard.
Like Droops the Bodyguard. Because Droops would,
kick some ass?
No, oh, I was eating, beef jerky.
A second.
All right, champ.
Okay. Also, have you been using the Google Desktop?
I have yet to use it.
Okay, but I have. It's actually pretty fast. It's pretty fast. The only thing I have a couple arguments about is that it takes too long to index.
Okay.
That's not really a problem. That's just inconvenience.
So when you first install it, it has to index everything?
Right, and it could take a while. And it does it while the thing's idle. The computer's idle. And it takes a good while. Also, another thing is when you go to search something and say you deleted something, it doesn't delete it off of there.
Okay.
And I've had something deleted for a week and it still hasn't done it, but there's a tab so you can select it and delete it off the search. But that's too much of an inconvenience. You search for something, you see a bunch of shit that... you delete it already, so you have to go back. So you have to go in Google and delete it from from there.
So you've got to delete it twice.
Yeah.
So if I'm at a library and I install a Google toolbar in there, I can go see what people were searching for really easily.
Not what people were searching for, what they had on the computer.
Okay.
They don't have search results in there.
Okay. It's just what they had on the computer.
Right.
Okay.
And, it's kind of inconvenient. But if they could fix all that shit, I think it's still beta, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, it's beta, and so once they fix all that shit, it's going to be a good tool, and I'll use it.
Excellent.
More than I am.
More than you are now.
Right.
All right. My turn?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Microsoft has actually released a new device, the MSN TV 2. And, despite the spread of the home computer, there's still a significant minority for people for whom a PC is just too costly or complicated. These folks, including many senior citizens, underline, capitalize, would like to do occasional web browsing and emailing, but without the hassle of owning or learning how to use a PC.
Damn.
Over the years, various products have been developed, especially for these technology minimalists. The most popular was WebTV.
Well, what do they call themselves? Technology minimalist?
Yes. The most popular was a WebTV, a small box that allowed people to browse the web and do email on a TV over a special internet service you address using dial-up connection. Just like my AOL TV up there. And anyway, Microsoft bought out WebTV in 97 because they're just damn innovative. And eventually renamed it to MSN TV. But, of course, this thing suffered from a clumsy, slow interface, limited memory, and reliance on its pokey dial-up connection. First of all, let's stop here. Microsoft bought a product that was very popular in 97, renamed it, and then gave it a clumsy, slow interface and limited memory.
Sound like Windows.
Okay. It's a single device that's fixed on the hardware, like it's... I don't see how this would be hard to make a nice little interface for. But
especially if you were
like a massive company, this is what you did.
It's not like
me and you making the thing.
It's all about the developers.
It's all about developers, developers, developers.
And obviously they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I can't wait to take that training. Anyway, now MSN TV is joining the broadband era. Earlier this month, Microsoft
Already?
And Thomson's RCA brand released a fresh $200 revamp of the product, unoriginally named MSN TV 2, Internet and Media Player. Now, of course, you have to pay a monthly fee of $22 with the included MSN service, or $10 a month.
On top of everything else you have to pay for, Microsoft.
Or $10 a month if you choose to use your own Internet provider. On top of your broadband connection that you have to pay for.
Bills, 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 bills.
Bills, 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 bills. Now, during the install, pleasant piano music plays in the background while you wait for the internet connection to be established. And the entire process is simply explained without any confusing instructions. This MSN TV lacks a hard drive, and its storage capacity is limited to a meager 128 megabytes of RAM and 64 megabytes of flash memory. Now, this thing is for Grandma to have pictures of little Timmy. I think she's going to need more than 64 megs of memory on it. Poor little Timmy.
Memory is so fucking cheap.
Why
do you cunts holding out? Put fucking 256 in that bitch.
Like, I just read an article about hard drive makers, and they're losing. Like, hard drives are cheap. Like, they cost barely more than it costs to make them.
What's it, like a dollar a gig or maybe 50 cents a gig now?
And, like, those people are losing money, like, insanely with the tech slowdown, things like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so 64 megabytes of flash memory. My fucking watch has more memory than that. But...
My condoms have more memory than that.
No,
hey, believe
don't.
Me, you don't want to have a condom with a lot of memory with the chicks I fuck.
Are you reusing this condom?
Of course. Why wouldn't I?
You wash it out with anything special?
No.
Excellent. Now, as they fiddle the guys that are reviewing this with
why
the
would I
features,
when a
chi-
why would I when a chicks drink it?
Occasional notices pop up on the bottom of the screen, accompanied by a chime. Bring! These notices appear whenever you receive a new email, which is helpful, but they also appear whenever a pop-up ad was blocked. Which... Jesus. It blocks a pop-up ad by popping up a little balloon going, bring!
Where is the gun?
Where the fuck is this coming from?
Watch Longhorn does that. Every time I look at the pop-up, it goes,
it's like, bling! We blocked a pop-up! Bling!
Look at us, we can write code.
Bling!
Oh, no, can't do that.
Oh, Jesus. Now, what about those features for advanced users? Well, actually, MSN TV 2 can be used as a home media streaming device, a hot new type of gadget that lets PC owners play back on a TV all the photos, videos, and music stored on a PC's hard disk in another part of the house.
Let somebody else handle this technology.
What the fuck is up with that? Like, this is the idiot computer. It's for Grandma to check her email, but now Grandma's hooking it up wirelessly to another computer so that she can watch her downloaded DivX files? Makes what the hell? There's a little medium in the middle that they're missing there.
Maybe, you know, does it come with the free codex, or do you have to pay for that, too?
Well, actually, there's a, you still have to pay the $10 minimum service fee if that's all you're using it for.
Fucking idiots.
So I'm going to buy myself something that costs as much as a TiVo, but can't record anything.
Let somebody,
and then pay $10 a month for service on it?
Let somebody else handle this technology.
What the fuck?
Microsoft, let somebody else handle this technology, because you're not. It's not going to work for you. You don't know what you're doing.
You definitely don't know what you're doing.
No, you don't.
And oddly enough, the remote control on it looks surprisingly similar, just a different color to my AOL TV remote.
Hmm.
If anyone wants to check that out, go to msntv.com.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you're all going to go to that. They're going to be like...
I'm sure we're all like, woo!
They're all going to check their stat page. What's Infonomicon? Okay, man. Nero Chip from Infineon, I guess how you pronounce the name, can read your mind. New findings and brain research expected. That's an old article from 2003, but I found it pretty interesting. This company announces a breakthrough development from for neurological science by means of a biosensor chip. Researchers at and the Max Planck Institute managed to record and process the electrical signals from nerve cells, so-called neurons, as never before. The neurochip amplifies the signals and transfers them to a computer system for processing. The innovation is a promising development for researchers who are expected to gain new insight into neuron jungle that forms the human brain. Here, more than 100 billion nerve cells are connectedly exchanging information. Knowledge of their principle of operation and integration could be a first step towards solving diseases to the brain, which are still incurable today. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe your nerve cells are saying things to you.
Maybe they are.
Listen to Infonomicon.
Maybe they're like, obfuscated, quit smoking. That's your nerve cells talking.
No, they're saying smoke more.
Every time I drink a beer, it's like, that's good. All my nerves are like, yeah.
No, my nerve cells are like, kill us now. Kill us.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm glad your nerve cells want to kill you.
No, they just want to die. They want to commit suicide.
They're like, pick up the gun.
Pick up the gun.
Spyware and adware are notoriously hard to keep off personal computers. But, companies are getting some new countermeasures. Now, hold on. One second. Do you have a Linux box?
Yeah.
How much spyware and adware you got on that thing?
None.
You know how much I got on my Mac right here?
How much?
None. You know how much I clean off of people's Windows computers?
How much?
A lot.
You know how much
spyware... Now, wait, they're running Windows? That'd be Microsoft, the security professionals.
You know how many I have on my NES?
How much?
Couple.
None.
Couple.
On my NES. Yes. Blue Coat Systems Incorporated, Silicon Valley company, makes devices called proxy servers. Well, today they're enhancing them with software for blocking spyware and adware programs at the edge of corporate networks. Its executives estimate that the product can stop 98% of such unwanted programs from being installed. While WebRoot Software Incorporated boasts a similar success rate with its products, which are installed directly on personal computers. In June, it introduced a corporate version which allows managers to remotely install and upgrade programs on PCs, and says it's already sold 250,000 copies of such product. Such success claims have been rare in the battle against spyware and adware, which now rivals computer viruses and spam as costly headaches to our individuals and businesses. Many programs are available to remove spyware and adware once installed on PCs, but few are designed to prevent installation in the first place. Now, as in fighting viruses, adware, and spyware, these fighters identify the computer code of such programs and try to block data files that fit these software signatures. Another technique is to list websites where such programs have been found and stop downloads from these sites. But those steps can't stop programs and sites that change often. Blue Coat does more. This company just says its proxy devices, which already analyze companies' web traffic control to its websites, can distinguish data files from programs that can execute dangerous instructions on computers. The devices can be set to stop installation of program files that didn't come from trusted websites, said Vilas Otis Bluecoat's chief technology officer. WebRoot maintains a large list of identified spyware and adware they can block. If malicious programs do get installed, the company software identifies suspicious behaviors such as resetting a user's homepage and automatically removes them. Mr. Mall, the chief of information order there, officer, won't give details of these techniques, citing a pending patent application. So pretty much it's helping the user do something the user should be able to do anyway.
Well, you got to help out the retarded. Retarded people.
And this is good. Like, it's less time for everyone else to have to work on cleaning off spyware, as long as they continue to update their shit.
It's never-ending piles of shit excrement, actually. I'm going to stop saying shit on the air. I'm going to start cursing.
Now, are you?
No.
You're such a fag. You better bleep that out, because only gay people are allowed to say that on the internet.
Oh, you mean fag? You mean film actors guild?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
We're members of the I don't say fag. I can't even think of an acronym for that one. Oh, yes, I can. I am good. Check this out. FAGGOT. Film Actors Guild given out treasures. We are the Film Actors Guild giving out treasures.
Yes.
Our fag for short.
Anyway, there's a listing here. It's a listing of types of programs, what it does, and how many times it's installed in millions. Like Adware Cookies, which we all know, is installed 65 million times, supposedly, in their survey. Adware is installed 17.42 million times. Trojans are installed 0.52 million, and system monitors are installed 0.49 million times.
Yeah, what you gonna do? Nothing you can't
do.
It's
a never-ending battle. As soon as they figure out one thing, the spyware guys are going to figure out another.
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
But at least there's somebody trying to make some money off of it.
Yeah, you notice like you go into a store now, Circuit City or whatever you go, you know, Best Buy, whatever you pick software up at, they have like tons and tons of software trying to sell you to block adware. And spam, not spam, but adware. Spam too, but.
LimeWire doesn't have all that.
Huh?
Well, you said where I go to get software.
Well, it depends on where I go, but I went to Circuit, where did I go the other day? I think it was, Compusa. And they had a bunch of software. I'm like, who buys this shit when you can get, number one, just online and just download your free shit?
Yeah.
Adware, SpyBot.
Yeah.
Okay, man, and that's actually going to be the in the articles. I just checked my email. I got an email from Regicide 666.
Okay.
And he just confirming what we knew already. When we just read the email. It says you talked about the search strings Howard Stern hemorrhoid show was linking to your site. Well, Stern had a world largest hemorrhoid contest where people came into the studio and showed off hemorrhoids for prizes. The contest was filmed for a show on E! And from his website, you can pay to see the uncensored E! show, his television show on E! I would suspect people wanted to see this video without paying for it, and that's why they were searching for it. I couldn't tell you where to see it without paying because I don't know why anyone would want to go looking for this. Listening on the radio was fun, but actually want to see it is something different. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know. Thanks, man. Thanks for the input. And we're going for the list of the week. Do you have a site of the week?
I have yet to have a site of the week, but if you would like to go, the temporary site of the week is freaknik.info. There's hella pictures there of the weekend. You can see what people look like.
Are you on there?
Not yet, but we're gonna.
Okay, get your pictures uploaded on that. And again, what's the term of the week?
The term of the week is scene whore, and that's a person that goes somewhere to make an ass of themselves and get attention than to actually participate.
And they they're everywhere.
Sure. And everywhere. They're everywhere. Music, wherever you go.
Music, hackers, everywhere. And what's the...
They're usually the loudmouth people there.
Yeah. And what's the quote of the week?
The quote of the week is Fearness. I can't even say it. It's by Lucky225, and he says it way too fucking much.
Oh,
noob!
Okay. We should have a noob of the week. Oh, man. Okay.
And I'm actually going to see if I can get a recording of him saying this for next show.
Hopefully. Yeah, right. And and Shirley Q, of course, is coming back. And take it, Shirley.
How you doing? This here is Shirley Q Liquor. Well, you know, I loaded up the Cadillac yesterday and took all 19 of my children down there to the beach. Oh, it was a long drive, and that Cadillac kept trying to short out on me, sparking. You know, it don't like that heat no more than I do. And we finally got down there and put on our swimming suit, and them children just scattered, you know, just 19 different directions. There they go. I say, Lord, I'm going to blow a whistle after a while, and whoever show up in this car is getting to go home, and the rest of y'all on y'all own, okay? Because we had brought an ice chest with us, you know. And, well, me and Watusa sat out there on our blankets, you know, and we was drinking malt liquor, and she said, let's bust that watermelon open. I said, all right now, girl. And we went and got that thing, and we didn't barely have a knife for it, and we just had to use our fingernails to get it started cracking. And then she popped that thing open, that watermelon split in two, and blessed by the Lord, I swear the face of Jesus was on that thing. And I said, oh, my goodness. You say, you see that? And she said, yes, I do. And her mouth was just drooling. And she said, well, the Bible says it's time for communion. And I said, I know that's right, honey. And before you know, we lip locked down on the Lord. Yes, we had. And it was good, too. So thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. You tell your mom and them I'll see her at the beach sometime. It was, too, honey.
Man, Shirley, you get funnier and sexier every week.
Only if he listened to the show.
I listen to the show.
Also,
but I'm really
man.
Bored.
Also. Okay, I actually have another side of the week. I just got thought of this. There's a, if you go on archive.org, there's a thing called the Wayback Machine. It's a link. It's on the, it should be on the cover. Just search for Wayback Machine. W-A-Y-B-A-C-K Machine. And all you have to do, like, I'll do this right now. I'll type in benrev.com. This only works with sites, you know, it's been around for a while. Say benrev.com. Mm-hmm. Push enter. Mm-hmm. And what's going to come up is it'll have the years. Has 1996, 1997, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004. And it keeps an archive of the site. Mm-hmm. Okay, the earliest archive this is, has it at April the 4th, 2003. And I'll pull that up, and of course it looks totally different than it did, than it does now.
Mm-hmm.
And it has some, of course, some news and stuff like that.
Go to Old School Freak.
Okay, now we're going to go to Old School Freak, and the earliest we have for that is June 4th, 2002.
Not there.
It's not.
Second one is.
And of course, it looks pretty different than what it did.
Yeah.
Actually, it looked kind of the same.
It's back when Radio Freak America was up to number 31.
Yeah. So it's a pretty cool thing. I previously checked eBay. They had that going back to 1996. I've checked Microsoft.com. I've checked Amazon.com. These sites look totally different. I even checked Google. Now, seeing Google back in its infancy is pretty fucking cool.
Well, actually, if you go to the original, the second RFA website, you can click on the link for stickers, see a copy of the infamous Radio Freak America sticker, and get the old mailing address for RFA. If anybody wants to make a copy of the sticker for their laptop or anything. Because at the conference, a lot of people were talking about them.
Okay. But eBay, if you go to Google, their first thing is so much like it's fucking archaic, but it's pretty funny. But that's our second side of the week. We're not going to call Stank this week because we were going to show like at 2 in the morning, and we don't want to wake him up.
The what?
Huh?
Yeah, we do.
No, we don't.
All right.
The dude actually works a job. We can't call him up. Unlike us bums.
Excellent. Let's not call Stank up today. Oh, and speaking of Stank, I have some props to give out.
Okay.
Some shouts, as it would be.
Okay.
And first one is to Mr. Stank. And I'm also about to put his docs up on eBay if anybody wants to buy them. Says I cut him off a little box that he had. So be looking for that. And I'd also like to give shouts out to Ice Knife and Juice for letting me crash on their floor and not molesting me with anything, especially a Sharpie. And I'd also like to give shouts out to Crazy Hick, Excellent Taste in Beer, Lucky, You Need a Larger Vocabulary, Acidus, Excellent Person, and Cessna, it was nice to see you there. And Cessna, if no one notices, is a sexy man. Like, just oozing sex wherever he goes. All right.
Okay, I want to give a shout out to this chick. I forget her name. She gave me the hand job in back of the that place. Subway. And I want to shout out to her. She's pretty good. And I don't know if
she only charged you $40 for that?
No, babe. I only pay for blowjobs. I don't pay for hand jobs. And what else do I have? Cunt of the week.
Did you wash your hand first?
Cunt of the week. I don't have one. This can't be good.
You don't have a cunt of the week?
No.
I got a cunt of the week.
Okay.
The cunt of the week this week is it's a bastard that was running around Freaknik that actually was a thief. And there's a guy here, Oddball. I'm listening to him on IRC. And Oddball had a 17-inch a 17-inch LCD that was stolen from him. And the cunt of the week is that son of a bitch that came to the conference and stole his monitor.
Did they catch him?
No. So if you've got an extra $5, email Oddball. He hangs out at sc2600.org or sc2600 on Undernet. And send him an extra $5 to help replace his monitor. Because that's just fucked up.
Fucking assholes. This is why everybody should carry a handgun.
Hell yeah.
The way I figured, there would have been a lot of shooting going on, but at least the person that did it would have got shot.
No shit.
Along with 15 other people.
Screw innocent bystanders.
Okay.
At least they didn't steal his hard drive.
Yeah, but still, that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's really fucked up. Anyway, that's what I got.
Okay, man, that's going to be it for this week. And the closing music is going to be dedicated to... I started thinking about this right in the last, 2 minutes. We're going to dedicate a song to... somebody we hope listens to the show, and I guess I'm going to call him Captain Switchhook. Do you know who Captain Switchhook is?
Yes.
And this song's by Danzig. The song's called "Do You Wear the Mark?" And until next week, I've been Obfuscated.
And I've been Droops.
And we're Mickey Finn.